ready to roll. Good morning, Central Ohio, and welcome to Voice Corp and the radio show. It's Robert Downard with Ralph.
Yes,
and,
good morning.
And happy holidays to everybody. We had a festive Saturday, to say the least, last week. It was nice to taste a little bit of that with the W. And
yeah.
Now we're going on into Indianapolis today to play the Hoosiers. But
kind of cathartic in a lot of ways.
Yes. I think my wife looked at me a couple different times last week wondering why I wasn't ecstatic, and I think maybe it was a little bit of overblow from losing it last year the way
sure.
that we did.
Sure.
And it just kind of just makes you sit back and appreciate more of what you have.
Exactly.
So we're going to start off this morning, and I think if I can, I will beat Mary to the phone number. It's 614-276, and I don't
know. Oh, she got you, man.
Yeah,
we lost it on the desk right now.
Yep, it's not posted up in front of us here. I'll get that number out to you folks, and I'm sure Mary will be on with us shortly, I hope. Thank you there, Chuck. Appreciate that. Haven't said that a few million times, and it should roll right off the tongue. We'll start with, let's see, Saturday on the air. Okay, I'm sorry. 614-274-7992. Thank you. We'll start off noon today, college football, BYU and Texas Tech on ABC. And also at noon, Miami University against Western Michigan on ESPN. 2 o'clock, Prairie View A&W versus Jacksonville State. That's on ESPN2. 4 o'clock, Georgia at Alabama on ABC. 8 o'clock, Duke versus Virginia on ABC. And then Indiana at Ohio State on Fox at 8 o'clock. 10 o'clock, Rhode Island versus UC Davis. That's on ESPN2. 2:30 this afternoon, PGA Tour, the Hero World Challenge on NBC. 10 o'clock, the DP World Tour Crown Australian Open. That's on the Golf Channel. Horse racing today at 11 o'clock. America's Day at the Races, Fox Sports 1. 2 o'clock, America's Day at the Races, Fox Sports 2. Basketball today, 7:30 tonight, Golden State at Cleveland on NBA TV Network. NHL, the Blue Jackets are down to play the Florida Panthers on FanDuel at 3:30. 7 o'clock, Utah at Calgary, and that's on the National Hockey League Network. Soccer, we talked about this just a moment ago. 10 o'clock, just started Bristol at Millwall. That's on CBS Sports Network, English Premier League. AFC Bournemouth versus Chelsea on NBC, English Premier League. Tottenham Hotspur versus Brentford on USA, 12:30. English Premier League. Leeds Union versus Liverpool on NBC, 2:30. MLS, International Miami versus Vancouver on Apple TV and Fox.
That's for all the marbles in Major League Soccer.
That is it. Yesterday evening and the afternoon, had a couple winners local with Olentangy Orange winning their championship game. And I'm not sure, were they up in Canton?
Yeah, everybody played. Everybody played up there
in Canton this year. Okay, because I know that they kind of sparsed things out. They played some even in Dayton last year, so it was kind of weird. But they won, and then Bishop Watterson beat Toledo Central Catholic for the second year in a row, and they skunked them 30-0.
Yeah.
So got some champions, football champions here in the okay. And good morning, Mary.
Hey, good morning.
How are you?
You finally got the number right.
Yeah, it took a little while there. You can't keep things out of my eyesight where I used to have it right against the window, and now it's not there any longer, and all of a sudden I drew a blank this morning.
Yeah, they shuffle everything around on the desk, and we're in trouble, you know.
So,
golly.
How are you, and
well,
how was your Thanksgiving?
Congratulations. I know my good friend Jim it's his cousin, I believe it is, that's the quarterback and the wide receiver.
Oh, very cool.
Belisari.
Yeah.
That name's pretty big with football.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, any relation to Steve? I was curious.
Yeah.
There actually is?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I believe they're family.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. And
that's
where my
the one Belisari played for Ohio State back in the day.
Right. Left-hander, if I remember correctly.
Yep. My granddaughter would have gone to Watterson, but they moved to Naples, but all of her girlfriends from St. Bridget, most all of them are over at Watterson, some on the drill team, some on the in the band and stuff like that. So they had a big night last night, I'm sure.
Yes. I feel bad. I haven't followed up Arlington like I'd like to because I don't know how to do it. But evidently, Arlington and the Orange, I think they're in the same district or whatever you call it. And so they probably beat them up somewhere.
Well, I think both teams were undefeated, weren't they, last night?
I think so, because...
So I don't know that they met each other, and I don't know that they're in the same division. I think one's...
So Arlington is still in it.
Oh, no.
No, they lost.
They lost.
Because they played Pickerington North. They beat North, and they lost the following week, I believe.
Yep. And I'm messing my stuff up here with Watterson. Yeah, but
that's
yeah.
That's too bad. So is anybody else nervous about this game tonight?
Not in the least bit.
I'm very nervous.
not in the least bit, and I'll tell you why. I think, especially if anything, last year's game showed us that Indiana is a good football team. They're solid, but they're not on the level of Ohio State, and I'll tell you why. Because I think the name, image, and likeness, you're able to get great college players, great players coming in. You have Carnell Tate, you have Jeremiah Smith. Now you look at the recruiting class with Chris Henry Jr. coming in. Julian Sand has been such a breath of fresh air, I think. People will say, you know, he was good, he's solid and everything, but I don't think anybody thought that he was going to perform at the level that he's performing at. And then you have all four running backs carrying the load almost evenly. And, you know, it's not often now. I think it's, you know, within the last 5 to 7 years, I think we all can agree that if you had a freshman coming in, you're immediately slapping a red shirt on the freshman and you're letting them kind of grow and mature. Now, if you can contribute, you're on the field. Get on there. Have, you know, even though you were in high school 6 months ago, get on the field and contribute, see what you got. I think Indiana is a good football team, but I think one of these things that you see is I think you can be overconfident. I think overconfidence can kill you because if you think you are invincible and you get punched in the mouth early on in the game and you get knocked on your heels a little bit, I think that's dangerous. I think that's going to, you know, we're going to learn a lot about Indiana tonight. And I think whether they can go with Ohio State and go toe-to-toe, I don't think they really have beaten anybody, right? I mean, Oregon, they beat Oregon.
At Oregon also.
At Oregon, which is impressive. But Oregon's not where they were a couple of years ago.
What worries me is our slow starts.
Yeah.
You know, and they, I mean, it's, you just got to beat a slow start. It's, it's.
Well, one of the things, I don't see them with the depth that we have here.
No, that's,
and that's
my point. The front line looks good, but I think if you get two players, three players deep into it, then you're going to start seeing that talent discrepancy, Mary.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we'll differentiate ourselves from the competition.
Well, there was a former Buckeye that was on the radio the other day and said, well, I predict that Ohio State will lose the Big Ten championship game and then win the when they have to play him again, for the
national
title.
Championship. Okay.
So I don't know if that's going to be. Well, I'd have to play him twice. So.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not crazy about that. Not in such a short span of time.
Yeah, I mean, and it's kind of the thing everybody worried about when the Big Ten went to divisions was, play Michigan the last week of the year, and then you could see them again at the Big Ten Championship. They,
right.
Does it lose the meaning of the rivalry and things like that?
Right, that's why they kept them in the same division.
Yeah.
So I at that time.
That would be interesting. I just, with the way Ohio State has looked this year, I don't honestly foresee that coming because you can tell those guys, and I'm not the be-all, end-all in football, but I have enough of an eye that I can tell you it looks like those kids are having fun playing the game every time they get out there, particularly the defense. The defense looks like they are just...
Yeah, and once you get their backs against the wall, when they get to the 20-yard line, they really rev up.
And I think a guy I like is Curry, I think. I can't, his first name is escaping
Curry,
me off
Curry.
The top of my head. But
on the edge.
Curry's just so darn fun to watch play the game. And, of course, when you've got somebody like Caleb Downs back there.
Yeah.
If they get through your first two waves of defense, they're not getting through that third wave.
Right. Yep. And that is something. I seen Curry last week beat his man on the end and take the running back down by the seat of his pants.
That
I think
kid,
he almost
so
got a horse collar, but he ended up getting him down from the middle of the number down toward the bottom to the top of the pants.
That kid's
pulled him
so
straight,
strong.
Yeah,
man.
Pulled him
oh
straight down.
Oh, my gosh.
Couldn't believe it. That's Hendrickson type move that you might see, or Max Crosby out of the Raiders.
That's a great comparison.
Yeah, those two guys kind of put me in mind of what Curry looks like. So the NFL will be drooling again come April for a lot of Buckeyes and a lot of these guys we're going to see in the next couple of weeks. So from these other teams as well. But we just keep reloading, and it's been an incredible year, to say the least. I didn't see – I was glad to see that Michigan couldn't get the ball past that goal line, and they had to kick those field goals. Once I seen the second field goal, I knew – they didn't have a chance. They just weren't going to get in with us.
Well, Burtis spent more time in the end zone than than Michigan did.
You see him X out that M?
Yeah, that was a good time.
Yeah, that was funny. So,
are you feeling a little better, Mary? Have we put you at ease?
Yeah, a lot better, actually. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that because last weekend I could hardly, especially the first half, I could hardly watch the game at all.
Yeah.
But so I kept myself busy, and then I, listened to it in the background kind of thing. Is like, oh, wow, in the second half, they're finally doing something. So.
Yeah. I'm sorry you had to listen to Gus Johnson and Joel Klatt, too, if you listen to him on TV. Joel Klatt's color commentary last week was just abysmal. I don't know how that guy's got a job, but it was he was saying stuff, and again, I'm a layman. I'm not, I'm not in it as much as he is, and I'm calling out. I'm like, that's wrong. That's not right, or anything like that, and then they were blowing calls on the field with the referees signaling. They're like, that's a timeout. I'm like, no, that's a penalty. You just have to watch the referees. It's not that hard.
But
was that on TV? Because I didn't really listen to the TV.
You're good then. You're golden.
If you didn't listen to the TV, then that was
you're better off for that. If you had Paul Keels and Jim Lachey, you're a lot better than listening to the TV.
Right.
I don't think you can call a one car funeral.
I'm trying to listen to the Steelers play. I don't listen to the TV there either. I go into WDVE in Pittsburgh and listen to those guys. But for the men's basketball game last week against Pitt, I was listening to Bill Hillgrove in Pittsburgh and then Columbus. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's amazing how you get two sides of the story like that.
Yeah, sounds a little different, don't it?
Yeah, you get a little home cooking.
Yep, say the least.
Yes, and unfortunately, we lost at the buzzer for that game. That was awful.
That's 2 years in a row now, too, right? That they lost a Pitt.
Yes.
Yep.
Well, back to football, I can't remember. Did we win the Big Ten last year?
We did not. No, ma'am.
No, we haven't won it since 2020.
I didn't think so.
Nope.
We have this thing for losing that game. I don't know why,
well,
but anyway.
That has to do with... losing the Michigan game. That losing the Michigan game don't get you into the title game quite often. And they've lost it. They had lost it four out of the last 5 years with the COVID year. Michigan bailed out on us. So. You know, so.
So that made our national championship game even better because.
Yes.
Yes, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, too. Rubbed a lot.
Okay, well. So it's been nice talking to you guys.
Absolutely.
I can't think of anything else right this minute. So.
Well, enjoy, and I don't know. Pitt's going to be out there in the bowl game somewhere at the end of the, at the end of this year, and then the Steelers are holding their water with Baltimore right now. So.
Oh my gosh, that's going to be another game tomorrow.
Yeah, you got five more weeks of that. With
well,
the,
see who with the pros. Up this week.
Yep. Yeah,
you know, they can beat Indiana, or Indianapolis, rather.
Yeah.
Five or six turnovers, and then the next day they act like, next week they act like they don't know what a football is.
I know that feeling all too
well.
Kind
of like Ohio State and Michigan.
And then my Cleveland Browns look at that football, and they're like, you guys play this game, that game that way?
Yeah.
You guys know how to, that's how you guys play that game, apparently?
Well, good luck to you. Have a nice holiday coming up, and
yeah,
hopefully
you
had a nice Thanksgiving.
Too. I don't want to bring that up. But
oh,
anyway.
Yeah. No, it was very, very peaceful, very low-key. Nothing nothing crazy, thankfully.
Yep. And the weather is the only thing that's really changed.
Tuesday was awful.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a way, I got to stay in the house all day. So
there
that
you go.
Made it nice.
That's the best when that happens.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I did. I just avoided being out in the traffic, and I worked all my services to Monday and Wednesday so I could miss that. And I did some Christmas things in the house that I needed to do anyhow that I've been behind on. It seems like everybody kind of got a good jump on things this year, and except for my front porch and what the tree in the house. There hadn't been a whole lot done in the yard because the snow. The snow got me, so I'm not going out there to pound spikes right now.
No, that's not. With that ground, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah. So
now we were driving around, I don't know, not too late last night, but we went to – I was on the disability bus and dropping someone off.
Oh.
Okay. Are you there?
Oh, I think we lost Mary.
Did we lose her?
Did she pay her bill?
Oh, there you
go.
We lost you there for a second, Mary. Yep, she's clicking in and out, I think.
Oh, no. She talked too much trash about Michigan.
I'm sorry. Sorry, Mary.
Sorry, Mary.
Have a good weekend, though.
Michigan didn't like what she was saying. And
is that what it was?
They hacked her communication system, and they got it. They hacked her.
That or the Baltimore guys are getting her.
Oh, yeah, right. You know, that's
for the Steelers.
God.
So they got a good big game tomorrow.
How about that,
o'clock.
Robert? Did you see that press conference with Ryan Day when they were talking about the wristband situation? And they were saying, you know, why did you go to the wristband? Like, when your communications went down in the helmet. I remember it being a whole debate they were talking about during the broadcast about –
Did Ohio
you know,
State had lost
is he
communication?
Is he wasting time, or what's he doing? You know, and they lost the communication. Well, they went to the press conference, I think it was Monday morning. It was the one before signing day. And Ryan Day was like, I knew this could happen, and we practiced it, and we got used to it. And he said all the coaches basically were kind of making fun of him, like, what's going on, what's going on? And I don't have the exact quote pulled up, but to paraphrase, he said, you know, we were just preparing because we knew this was a possibility.
Yep.
And then he tossed a little wink to the media guys in attendance at the press conference. And I kind of sat back and I go, does he know something that, you know?
Yeah,
that
Michigan will mess with the works whenever they can. Absolutely.
It was just very fascinating because, you know, obviously with all the Connor Stallion stuff and the scrutiny that program has been under,
don't put anything beyond them.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Training for that specific moment and then it happening.
Yeah, yeah.
It was very
surreal.
Yeah, and it's just like you're sitting back. It's like, what did they know and when did they know it kind of situation?
Yeah, it probably has happened to him a time or two before, and it may have happened to Urban, and maybe Urban burned Day's ear with it. You know?
And I mean, you got to think, is there somebody sitting at a control panel at the stadium and just kind of like, oops, turn the volume all the way down. My bad.
How can we get across that? You know, the wave bands and all that good stuff between the box and the floor of the stadium.
What do you think? What do you think about this Heisman race here? I think, you know, obviously tonight we've got the contest between Mendoza and Sain.
Yeah, and that may bring out a lot. My thing is that I think that Smith and Sain are going to split the vote themselves. Mm-hmm. Mendoza may even also, just because he's in this general area. Mm-hmm. I think that it's probably going to be the kid out of Vanderbilt that came from New Mexico State.
Oh, yeah, Diego Pavia, I believe his name is.
I got a feeling that he may be the overall – he may get the overall vote.
I think – see, this was the thing I used to do as a sports information director is, like, you look at the player that had the greatest impact on their team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, if you look at Julian Sain – he had a very obviously he's driving the bus. He's the to take a Tim May reference, he's the straw that stirs the drink, so
right,
to speak.
You know,
and you can't drive the bus without him. So he's important. Obviously, Jeremiah Smith is important, but you have the benefit of having players like Carnell Tate and Innes and Max Clair, Kaz Merrick too. That kid played lights out against Michigan too.
Yeah,
but you know, so. Not so much important. Mendoza's a good player on what used to be not a good team.
Yes.
You know, yes. But I think.
And did he come with him from James Madison?
Wasn't he? He might have been an OU guy.
I'm not sure where Mendoza was from. I know he wasn't an Indiana recruit.
No.
He came into him after the fact, and I thought that he came in with the he did come in with Cignotti. But maybe not from the same team, because I know he brought quite a few players from James Madison to himself.
Oh, he was a University of California guy.
Oh, was he?
I was completely wrong.
Mendoza was all the way out in California.
Yeah, he was a Cal guy, and he played for Cal, and they were in the ACC. Let's make that make sense. So he transferred in from. I think the last guy he had was an OU guy. He might have that. That's might have been where I got that turned into. But
okay.
Mendoza is important, obviously, but I think if you look at somebody like Diego Pavia, Vanderbilt football is not Vanderbilt football without
him.
That's literally your most valuable player right there.
Yep. And that's the reason why I kind of see him, just because of the way the votes will split, if Smith even gets up into that top five.
But what we're talking about is rational thought. Now, what's going to sell... What's going to get televisions turned on? What's going to get, you know, advertising revenue and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Rational thought, I says, you know, I think is, you know, Diego, most valuable player. But the fact of the matter is you get back to these two quarterbacks that are about to take the field here in a couple of
hours. And only one of them is going to come out undefeated.
Yeah.
Out of the two.
And to the fact that you can boast being the last unbeaten quarterback in Division I football.
Right.
Is, you know, Division I the level that Ohio State, and now there's one AA or FBS, whatever they call it, FCS, or which my poor Youngstown State Penguins got.
Did they
were up comfortably against Yale. I think it was like a 27-point lead or something like that. And then just decided to check out in the second half and lost the game by like one or two points.
Yeah, 45-42 or something like that.
But that quarterback's coming back. He announced yesterday, which I was like, that's pretty sweet.
Cool.
So,
cool.
Let's go Gwens.
Yep.
But you know, I think, you know, we're playing for a Heisman and we're going to see what's going on here. I want to think in a world, too, that if Julian Sain wins this game, there might be a chance Mendoza might sneak off with the Heisman, too, because somebody might look at his body of work and what he's done with that team.
Yeah.
And not have the talent, almost back to the Diego conversation, not have the level of talent that Julian has around him.
Right.
Where I think if you threw one of us back there to throw to Jeremiah Smith or Max Clay or hand the ball off, we would probably look really good too.
Yeah.
You know, so, but if you throw us behind, and I mean, we would probably still be running for our lives theoretically, but if you threw us behind the Indiana line, we would be running for our lives almost immediately.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. And you know, the thing I noticed was saying it was when Smith and Tate weren't there, mm-hmm. he did have some connection issues. And it's not so much that the issues weren't his, I don't think. I think the issues were the young kids.
It's timing. It's chemistry, and it's working with those guys. Because
absolutely.
I mean, I've seen it. I still have it with players that, you know, I come from the soccer world. I know we joke around it, but I have these two girls I work with now at the high school level that are best friends, and they do everything together and everything. But the funny part is you get them on the field together, and the other one knows where the other is at all times.
Well, that's my Mahomes and Kelsey.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, if you want to go way back, and I'll go way back on you, Plunkett and Bataha.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so that's 50 years ago.
Yeah,
you
but know? I mean.
They know each other like brothers and sisters.
I mean, let's talk about your boy for a second. I mean, it's funny to me that the no-look passes from Patrick Mahomes are so funny to me because he's the only guy that can pull that off. Mm-hmm. Anybody else tries doing that in the league, you're picked off instantly or swatted down or anything like that. Like, it feels like, you know, he just throws it up there. He's like, Rice is down there somewhere. Or Kelsey's down there somewhere. He'll get it, you know. And it's interesting to me that, you know, I think saying not to that level necessarily, but, you know, it's you've got the deep threats with Tate and Smith, but then Max Clair, Will Kaczmarek, those guys, your little 5 to 7 yard routes, they're not bad. And then if you know, the defense starts cheating that way, oh, I've got one of four running backs I can hand the ball off to that will have some sort of degree of success.
And the one thing that Ohio State could always do in these kind of games that they do from time to time, and they don't do it all through the season, I wish that we'd seen a little bit more of it, is the screen pass, not the swing outs that they do, the little screen passes
that everybody checks,
where they draw in and toss over top.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Little bubble screen action.
Yes. I think about Merlin Kerner and Ohio State when they beat Michigan 10-7.
Yeah.
In a big game here with the little screen passes.
Oh yeah.
And those things, because they're not on film, they don't see a lot of it, and they tend to. I would love to see a couple of those tonight, just to open things up and kind of quiet, because we know we're going into an Indiana crowd.
Yeah.
I don't care how well we travel.
It's a home game.
Yes, it's definitely a home game for them. So,
and you can't tell me. I mean, I've been part of a couple of these Big Ten championships where obviously there's ticket allotments for different teams, and I don't think Ohio State's going to sell on the secondary market, but if anything, I think some Indiana folks might sell on the secondary market.
Yeah.
They might try to. You know, and you can have Ohio State kind of creep in and maybe make it a 60-40 split or a 70-30.
Yeah.
But I don't see Ohio State fans giving their tickets up willingly.
No.
Unless there was some sort of...
Just because of the proximity to us.
Correct.
And then the other thing is some of Ohio State people will kind of squirrel their cash away thinking that they can get down to Miami for that championship game.
Yeah.
You know.
That's a good point, too, because, you know, you do... I mean...
And who knows where they're going to go as far as where they decide to choose.
Yeah.
If they have that choice at this point, you know, being number one, they will have that choice
of
what bowl game they want to go to. It most likely would be back out to the Rose Bowl. I can't imagine them not wanting to play there around the 1st of January.
I'll tell you what, though, and my dad, God rest his soul, the joy that my father had during that first round playoff game against Tennessee.
Yeah.
It was, and just as a fan to watch it on TV, you could feel the electricity through the television.
Yeah.
The shoe, I don't think has, in my lifetime, my 36 years on this planet, I don't think I've ever seen the electricity come through the television the way that it did for that game. And it's just something special about these playoffs, man. Playoffs are fun in any sport that you go to, but, you know, NFL playoffs are even fun, too. You're a fan of a team that has made it numerous times.
Yeah.
But like college, I think just the pageantry, the excitement, the bands, the, you know, just their traditions, I think just amp it up so much more that it's just like that's how you get really excited and that you build the excitement for this. I think they've nailed it with this formula. Now, I know everybody can sit back and go, it's not perfect. You're always going to leave somebody out. That's fine. You can we can have those discussions at a later date. Frankly, I'm not smart enough to understand all of that. Yeah. And I assume I'm the dumbest guy in the room when it comes to that stuff. Yeah. But I think as just a casual observer, this is a fantastic formula.
Yeah.
It's not like the old BCS days where you're letting a computer tell you, hey, you're going to Pasadena. Hey, you're going to Atlanta. Yeah. You're doing this. You're doing this.
Right.
It's you're kind of in a way with this committee having a human touch to it and giving the fans what they want in the matchups that they want.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Well, it was definitely fun, and part of the electricity had to be bringing an SEC team into the state of Ohio or the state of Pennsylvania or Michigan or Indiana or wherever, comparatively speaking, bringing them north in December.
Yeah.
You just don't see it.
Come see snow.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
And it's funny to me because this is a thing that I've dealt with a couple years in my profession is that I came from Division II, NCAA Division II, which the playoff structure was already in place for Division II. And to see people kind of freak out about this is the thing that gets me, and I don't know where I'm at on this debate, to be fully honest with you, but people freaking out about losing the Michigan game and then getting in the playoff.
Yeah.
You know, would you rather have a national championship or would you rather have Michigan win? Personally, for me, the national championship probably generates more money.
So yeah.
I'm probably going to take that.
Yeah.
But it's kind of the same thing I said in Division II where a lot of people would memorialize the regular season champion and go, look at how great they are.
Mm-hmm.
And they got knocked out in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody remembers the regular season champion.
Right.
It's the people that remember the postseason.
Yeah, that's right.
So, and that's the thing I think that a lot of fans that of big mainstream D1 football now will have to come to grips with is that, you know, it's you can lose the battle, but you can still win the war.
Yeah, well, and Notre Dame's going to be a prime case for that when we see that later on today, tomorrow, if that comes to pass. The one thing that may, depending on who wins where, and they were talking about this ad nauseum in some places, if a couple of teams win, then that bumps Miami into a head-to-head with Notre Dame, which they beat Notre Dame first game of the season. So Miami would get into the playoffs, and Notre Dame won't get into the playoffs. You want to talk about expansion, that's where you're going to see expansion, because if Notre Dame gets pushed out of this and Miami gets brought into it, you'll see this go from a 12 team to a 16 team real in a couple of years.
And again, that's back to that, I think the money talks situation, right?
Yep.
Because Notre Dame, despite it's had success in recent years, but there was some really dark times. I'm thinking like the Charlie Weiss era and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or even if you want to go Ty Willingham way back in the day, but they haven't been relevant until Marcus Freeman kind of popped back into the picture.
Yeah, and Kelly brought him up somewhat.
And now he had to go to LSU with his family. Yeah. His family.
Yeah, well, now his family and them are back up in Michigan somewhere near Travis City.
Yeah.
Probably looking for
Grand Valley.
Grand
actually,
Valley may
be
looking for somebody.
Division two action there. But it's interesting to me because I think, you know, you've got – Notre Dame has, again, the money, the influence,
and the draws.
The draw will turn televisions on and stuff like that.
Yep.
And if they miss the playoffs, nobody's going to watch them play in the Tax Slayer Gator Bowl against Mississippi State or something like that. Yeah. Like, it's not going to have the same appeal as playing in the Fiesta Bowl or something like that.
Right. Yep. You're right about that. I think Notre Dame will get into this Final 12. I'm not so sure that Miami will, but it'll be interesting.
Miami's just look wildly inconsistent.
Very, very. And they've kind of fluctuated this way since the 2000. I was wearing my hat since the 2002 game. It's kind of been
that
way for them.
They've found good footing lately with you know, Cam Ward, and I thought Beck was going to be the answer, but that guy's been so...
No.
He hasn't been the same player since he got hurt at Georgia.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, it's kind of exciting. I think college football needs Miami to be good, and you need those bad boys. You need good versus evil. You need that, like, you know, what they have, Catholics versus convicts.
Yeah,
you need that kind of – it's just good for the sport. You know,
right.
It's good banter, and it's good for the sport.
Yep, absolutely. It should be interesting and some fun games to watch. Texas Tech. I'm wondering if, because of the way Kansas City's playing right now, that I might not see Patrick at the game tonight, or this afternoon,
yeah.
I should say.
Yeah. Watch some of that film there, buddy.
Yep. And see, you know, because this is the first time Texas Tech's been in a championship game,
mm-hmm.
you know,
probably
forever.
Since the Mahomes era, I would
but
say.
Even before. I don't know that they ever have made the, you know, back with the SWAC or
mm-hmm.
wherever they've been.
Well, that's a deep cut.
Yeah, but I think that we may see him tonight. Who knows?
Is the SWAC still around?
No. No.
Okay.
No.
I was just thinking about that.
The SWAC got taken out and the Big 12 took over.
Oh, okay.
So, and the SWAC was about to go into – not quite as bad with SMU, but they were about ready to go into another tailspin as far as death penalty.
Oh,
type,
gosh.
Type case. And this is the reason why that conference split up the way that it did.
Oh, gosh.
So, and of course, I don't think we'll ever see the death penalty again, at least in our lifetime. And I think part of that has to do with how bad and how long it took SMU to get back to some sort of prominence.
Yeah.
And it's been 30, 40 years.
And they're in a conference championship today, aren't they?
I believe so. I'm not sure about that now. I don't remember calling their name, though.
Oh, they might not
be. They did get knocked off.
I think Cal beat them last week, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And that was what knocked them out of.
How about Tulane, though?
Tulane.
You talk about that. How cool is that for them? I mean, that's... Let's be honest, they're probably not going to do much. But that's almost like the Cinderella team, but when you get into basketball.
Yeah, and you know, they get to play with nothing.
Yeah, you got nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose except for to gain recruits.
Yeah.
To come to New Orleans.
Get you some national exposure.
Absolutely.
Put on your best-looking uniform that you got. And
the coach is even going to be gone after this year.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's already signed with somebody else. I can't remember now where he's going, but... He's definitely but he is coaching through his team and his
Oh, he's
school.
Not doing the Lane Kiffin.
No, no. And I think Lane Kiffin burns those bridges. This is the reason why
he's a weird dude.
He is. He has been weird since before he ever. I mean, as an assistant coach, he was an odd.
Where was he? Was he with the Raiders too?
Yeah, and his father was so good at what he did.
Yeah.
And Lane really got the coattails.
Well, he popularized the Tampa 2 defense, right?
Yes,
that
yes.
Was the, okay.
Yep.
And I remember him and Gruden during those Super Bowl runs in the early 2000s, and
yep.
they were
something else.
They were
yep.
playing like gangbusters,
yep.
man.
Yep. So it's a fun time of the year between, you know, and to see a little snow. You know, on the ground and the nip in the air, it definitely tells you it's football season.
So are you going to watch, because I know I will, these first round games, even though Ohio State probably won't be in.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's going to be fun watching
mm-hmm.
these weird matchups that will never happen in a million years only
right.
for this situation.
And then the thing is, it kind of filters through the bowl season.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you've got games on the... I think the 19th is the first ones, or the 20th, and all the way through to the 19th
that's
of January.
Don't tell my boss, but that's the best thing when you're on a random Tuesday and you can watch, like, the Cheez-It Bowl. And
yes.
Throw the iPad up there and get your work done. That's the best.
Okay.
Sorry to my boss if he's happening to listen to this now.
Okay. Yeah, we'll keep our fingers crossed on that. My thing was I hated to see, you know, as this all progressed, I was hated to see Alabama and Georgia end up playing for the SEC again. I was thinking the Texas A&M might be there. I was thinking the Vanderbilt might even be there, you know, to really show off Diego's prowess. But nope, back to the old
death taxes in Alabama versus Georgia. You know, and it'll be let's talk about Kirby Smart and whoever they're playing in Alabama. I don't think Kalen DeBoer understood Alabama football when he got there, because I think, you know, Saban was such a constant, obviously, because he was so good at what he did. But I think DeBoer, obviously, I probably would have done the same thing. Saw the check and was like, "You're paying me how much to do what I'm already doing in the West?"
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the poor guy just seems like he doesn't fit the Alabama mold. It seems like Alabama, for me, this is how I visualize it, is a pro style offense. Smash mouth football with some great athletes and things like that. DeBoer to me strikes me as more of the spread offense, you know,
the West Coast stuff.
Yep. You know, and it doesn't feel like it's meshing very well in certain instances. There's times where he hits it out of the park 100%, to my point, I think I said it with you and Kevin a couple weeks ago, is it's really funny to me that the SEC is now struggling since name, image, and likeness became legalized.
It shows where the money is.
It's not the gangbusters they're not the gangbuster conference that they were.
And there was money there.
Yeah.
And there still is money there, don't get me wrong. But they can see where the real money is and why the Big Ten is what it is.
And it's funny because you get, again, this is back to what we were talking about with draws with television audiences and things like that, is if you look at the teams that are currently in the top 25, top five, whatnot, they've got, let me pull it up real quick. They've got deep ties with, you know, alumni who are very, very well off.
Right.
You know, so it's right. Like the Ohio State obviously has a nationwide alumni base.
Yeah.
Indiana, I generally don't know.
No.
I'm going to be honest with you. Yeah. I genuinely don't know how that has happened.
I don't think that, just because of the size of the school and more oriented to the swimming and basketball.
Georgia, again, another strong alumni base.
Yep.
Texas Tech. Correct me if I'm wrong.
A lot of money thrown in there.
Is that where T. Boone Pickens was?
No. Oklahoma State.
Okay.
Yep.
But a lot of money going into Texas Tech.
Yeah, lots of money.
Oregon has Phil Knight basically subsidizing the entire athletic department. For the listeners out there, Phil Knight is the owner of Nike, Nike. He's the owner of Nike, has more money than probably God himself. But, you know, you have Nike. Ole Miss, again, a lot of Southern money there.
Right.
A&M,
right.
A lot of Southern money.
Yep.
Oklahoma, you've got a lot of passionate fans with a lot of money there.
Right.
Alabama, same thing. Notre Dame, you've got deep fan base. The Catholic Church backing it probably doesn't hurt either.
Yep.
BYU, talk about the Mormons. You know, you've got that going on.
Yep.
Miami, need I say more? Texas,
big time.
Yeah. Now we start getting into the ones that are a little different. Vanderbilt, seen as a higher ed school.
Right.
So your alumni probably have more money to give.
Yes.
So you're starting to see that kind of catch up a little bit. Utah, I don't know much about Utah, to be honest with you. I don't know if it's how they do. SC, obviously out in Los Angeles, you know, California.
A lot of money.
Virginia, again, you have high academic money. Arizona, my understanding, party school, don't know, never been there, but, you know. Michigan, obviously high academic school, good contract with the athletic department.
Right.
Say what you will about, can we say nice things in Columbus City Limits about Michigan?
Not much.
Okay.
Not much.
But, you know, realistically, solid, you know.
Yes.
Tulane, again, coin flip, don't know much about them otherwise than you're in the Big Easy.
Well,
you know,
and you're at this point, man, part of the reason why Tulane may be, besides the coach and of course he's moving on, but with the way things were going with Kelly at LSU, Tulane was a boost to the New Orleans area.
Yeah.
Even though Baton Rouge is 120 miles away, 90 miles
close
away.
Close enough, though.
Whatever. Yeah,
if you look
yeah,
at the map.
Absolutely.
You know.
But that's why I'm saying I think some of that money probably slid down to Tulane.
Oh, I'm sure.
And out of LSU.
Houston, again, Texas is always going to show up for their football teams. I mean, have you seen some of those athletic complexes for the high schools? I mean, it's bonkers.
Yep.
Georgia Tech, you've got the Atlanta connections there. Probably, I would venture to say, Coca-Cola sponsorship somewhere along the line.
Yep, absolutely. Engineers and the whole bit.
Iowa, it's the only game in town in Des Moines. And Iowa Hawkeye fans are so passionate about everything. The team can have a losing record, and they will love it to death. They remind me, as a long-suffering Blue Jacket fan, the Blue Jackets have historically not been very good for a very long time.
Right.
But they still manage to sell the building out because the fans absolutely adore the team.
Yeah.
You know, and that's their guys. That's their people, you know.
Right.
Obviously, having players like Caitlin Clark coming through doesn't hurt, you know, or anything like that.
Right, right.
North Texas. I don't know much about North Texas. I know they're the Green Wave or the Screaming Eagles or something like that.
Mean Green.
Mean Green. Okay, yeah, there we go.
Where does that name come from?
Their helmets are sweet, though.
Joe Mean Green.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Their helmets are sweet, though.
Yep.
And then James Madison, the Dukes. Again, we're in Virginia. It's probably a lot of good money and things like that, you know. But I think what you're seeing is kind of almost a social hierarchy of where everybody ranks on stuff and, you know, where you went to school and, you know, the alumni bases and stuff like that. I think that's kind of playing out. And are these locked in stone? Certainly no. But I think this is, you know, and that's one of the things that when Ohio State was making the trip to Madison, I don't know if anybody out there has ever been to Madison. It's a beautiful city. I don't know why they struggle with NIL the way that they do, but that was one of the big things that they were saying with Luke Fickell is that Luke Fickell's a good coach. Ohio State fans know that Luke Fickell's a good coach. He's just not getting the talent up in Madison.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have the infrastructure for NIL or anything like that right now for some reason. Now, I don't think it will always be that way. I think that they will get stuff figured out and they'll get them a winning program, but you can't recruit off of the natural beauty of the land alone, you know?
Yeah, especially in the cold,
which
is what you're going to deal with in Wisconsin.
And it's a great city. It really is a great city, but it's just, you and I, it's cold as heck today out in Columbus, and I can guarantee you and I don't want to be here.
Right.
If somebody said, here's a warmer place to go, you could go right now, you and I would be like, yeah, sure, we're there.
Yep.
You know, but same thing too with Madison. It's a beautiful place. It's a great place, but probably a hard sell in December.
And part of the prestige that Wisconsin received was from Alvarez, that came from Notre Dame, that came from a recruiting base out of the New York area, New Jersey area. And I'm not sure that Wisconsin has that still, even with Barry still up there.
And to the point is that everything comes off the tree of one of these top 25 programs.
Yeah.
It's like really, there's five programs that it comes out of. But
hey, guys.
Yes, sir.
Can you imagine selling a player from Florida into talking him into coming into that cold, snowy cold of Madison?
Yeah, that's a tough. I mean, really? Yeah, I think that Ohio State's lucked out in that manner, but I think as you go further north, Minnesota, Wisconsin, South Dakota, North Dakota State.
Might as well try and sell White Sox tickets.
There you go.
But, I mean, the thing is like, you know, to that point is Ohio State recruits a Florida quarterback. Let's go to that situation. They have 40-degree temperatures in Wisconsin or in Florida. It happens.
C.J. Stroud was the misnomer on something like that because he came out of
California.
Out of Rancho.
Rancho Cucamonga, I believe.
Yeah.
Which is really fun to say. but you get.
Can you imagine having to write that out all the time when that's your city? That's your city.
But that was Clint Dempsey. Weird city names, take a sidebar for a sec. Clint Dempsey, United States men's national team legend. Nacogdoches, Texas.
There you go.
That's a very fun one to say, too.
Okay.
But, you know, Florida has cold temperatures. I mean, they have 40 degrees. They experience it. But it would be like where we get these Arctic blasts.
Yes.
Luckily, we're not playing home games where it's 13 degrees outside.
Yeah.
You know, it's 40 degrees. It might be 30. You might get the occasional 20 if there's a night game. Wink, wink, Big Ten. But, you know, that's not going to be a terrible sell. But, you know, you try to get somebody to go to Madison, Wisconsin, where it is a little further north. You get some of that wind off the lake.
Yep.
Or heck, even if you want to talk about Northwestern, you know, with the
Chicago.
trying to get the wind off the lake and stuff. It's chilly.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a tough sell.
It is. It is. Absolutely. To those kids that are down there in amongst it. But the thing is, again, the money will draw them.
Yeah.
So if there's money, those kids will come from the south to the north. I'm not so sure that there's enough money in the south to keep them down there.
I don't know how many of our listeners are old wrestling fans, but Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man, used to say, everybody's got a price.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think, you know, if you say you don't, I think you're lying to yourself.
Yeah.
But, you know, if somebody flashed a $50,000 check to me and was like, hey, go move to this city, probably would move to that city.
Yes, absolutely.
For $50,000? Sure.
Yeah.
You covering my expenses too? Absolutely.
Yep. Not even bat an eye about it. It's, should be fun. Should be fun. A full day of football for everybody. And then tomorrow you'll have the NFL. And I think it's 7 o'clock tomorrow night is when they put out the final 12,
I believe you're
12 team bracket.
It might be Tuesday.
Is it Tuesday?
Or
I thought it was Sunday at 7.
It might be Sunday.
Sunday at 7. I think it's in between. It's supposed to go in between the 4 o'clock and the 8 o'clock games tomorrow night.
I got a question for you, though, Robert.
Okay.
With, you know, it's a big day of sports. Are we doing anything special for food? What's the food situation? Are we getting some wings? Are we getting pizza? What's the plan here?
Well, for me, tonight is pizza.
Pizza?
So, and I don't get that too often in my house. My wife is not a big pizza fan, so hers will be probably something like garlic cheese bread type thing with some salad or something.
Okay.
But, you know, last week and, you know, over these last couple of years since they've moved the Michigan game to the Saturday after Thanksgiving, seems to be a lot of leftover Thanksgiving type meals being eaten at the game.
Which is not a bad thing.
No, not at all. Good cold turkey sandwiches with some mayo. And, mm-hmm. So
get that traditional stuffing going too, and you're
and
off and running.
And some cranberry surprise.
So do you like the canned cranberry sauce, or are you like...
I can eat it any which way you want to serve it to me.
I respect that.
Yep. So I grew up in the can, but I've had many folks that have made it with the regular cranberries, and I can go either way.
It's not too shabby,
sir.
Yep. So I got to come over to your house tonight and get
absolutely.
That's the plan.
Yep.
Okay.
It's going to be Massey's tonight, so we're gonna try something a little different.
They've got good pepperoni, if I remember correctly. Not to turn this.
Yeah, I'm not crazy. I've already told them I don't want the corn dust or the gold dust.
Oh, okay.
I don't mind it on the bottom. I don't like it on the top.
That makes sense.
And that's Donato's too. They do the same thing. So, but that's my flavor.
Yeah,
I grew up eating Ruffini's pizza off of Weber Road.
Yeah.
And so
Tommy's is pretty good too.
There you go.
I love me some
absolutely
Tommy's.
Absolutely. So the NFL's ramping up. I have to go ahead and have my crow, because I don't see the Chiefs making the playoffs at all.
You got faith, sir.
So far behind with so many other teams that are above, I just don't see where the analytics fit this team this year. So just get out of the season healthy, and revamp. And I have very positive vibes about Andy Reid, and I think that Andy will stay. I think Andy was ready to go probably about the time that Patrick came in.
Yeah,
I think Andy will stay through Patrick's.
Yeah.
Tenure.
That makes sense.
How many more years I got of Patrick? 4 more years, 3 more years, whatever it might be.
How many years has he been playing, though?
9.
Jeez.
And actually, when you look at the number of games, he's into his 12th season.
Oh, wow.
Because of the playoffs.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
So, And it's showing.
Yeah.
And that's one of those things that if he's able to keep the coaching staff together, I think that they'll revamp and we'll see a different type of team come next year.
Yeah.
But stay healthy, and I'm not so sure. I think Chris Jones may be on his way out. I don't understand why they haven't been looking at some of the players that I've seen move, like Parsons.
Yeah.
Why the Chiefs haven't made some of the moves that they could have made.
Dallas even got with Quinnen Williams, and I'm trying to think of the other guy, too, that was tore up whoever they played on Thanksgiving.
Kansas City.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Sorry. Didn't mean to rub it.
That's all right. Lots of close losses. After 17 straight one score wins.
Yeah.
And they've lost 6 out of 7 this year the same way.
Is Mr.
So that stuff all kind of balances out over time.
Is Mr. Swift going to be part of the equation next year, do you think? Mr. Taylor Swift?
No. I think he's done.
You think he's done?
Yeah.
He looks frustrated. Anytime you watch a game, he just looks frustrated. Yeah. He looks tired. He looks frustrated. Yeah. Maybe he's talking to his brother Jason, and you know he's probably like, "Hey, retirement life's pretty good. Come on, let's do this podcast and make millions of dollars."
Right. You know? And I did. See no reason why that shouldn't be. It's time for him to move on.
As far as I'm concerned, I think if you can get it, make your money, keep your brain cells intact, and you know, I think
be
that's
able to walk away from the game.
Yeah,
from the game.
Literally walk, get out of bed, and it not hurt you.
Yep,
have at it, dude.
Yep, I think so too. And he's done his bit for king and country, as far as I'm concerned. So, if he does come back, I think it'd be in a more muted state, like we seen Gronk at the end of his career.
For sure.
More just hanging with Tom than anything else. It may be that way with Travis.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the dynamics of him and Taylor. Apparently, they don't have any fights. So if they don't have any fights.
It's a bunch of malarkey. Everybody fights.
Arguments. Yeah, we're not individuals. You know. Great show. Appreciate you very much.
A lot of fun.
Merry Christmas to everybody. Happy holidays to y'all. And we will talk to you come
next year.
Yes, and it will be definitely into the bowl season.
Oh, yeah.